Yeah, we get applause for announcements. That's really good. You did a good job. You got applause. I don't get applause. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Roseanne. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. It's good to be here. And what a beautiful day. I was telling the earlier service it feels like spring because I don't want to face winter. So I just kind of pretend that it's spring. And Sharon, you don't mind if I move things. I feel like I'm kind of locked in here a little bit. Oh, okay. I'm not going to move too much. There we go. Well, let's pray before we look at God's Word. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that your Word is truth. And we pray today that you would speak to us, you would encounter us, challenge us, and Lord, that you would reveal the truth to us, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a question I have for you today is, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? That's a good point. So in July, we took a trip, as many of you know, to South Africa, and it was a blessing to be able to go and visit family and go and visit some of the beautiful places that we always enjoyed seeing when I was growing up. And one of the favorite things I enjoy doing is climbing mountains, and South Africa is very mountainous, and we got to go up some of the mountains that I love, and one of them is George Peak. It's called George Peak, and here's a picture of the panorama that I took from the top of George Peak, and you know, it's a panorama, so it's really kind of spread out, but it's a beautiful summit, and you can see for miles and miles in all directions from there. And on that particular day, I got up early before sunrise, and I said, I'm going to go and climb George Peak. And I realized that it's probably been about 30 years since I've climbed it. And back then, you know, you just simply went to where the houses stopped, and you went into the forest, and you found a path and made your way up. And so I went to where the trailhead was, and there were more houses, and there were a lot of signs saying, don't go here, don't go up here, you know, this is not the way. And I thought, well, you know, now that I'm a pastor, I better do the responsible thing. I better do what I'm supposed to do. And so about 3 miles down the road is the forestry station where there's, you know, a guide and instructions and so on. So I went in, and you're supposed to register with the forestry station before you go up the mountain. And so I thought, well, I guess I got to be responsible and do that. So I went into the forestry station, and I checked in, I filled in the little book, and the guy was very helpful. He said, here's a map, here's instructions on how to go, and I looked at the map. It was just like a very grainy satellite picture with some blue lines painted on it, and I said, okay, I'm sure I can figure it out. And then he said, go down this road, which is just outside the forestry station, and take a left and head that way, and you'll be on the right path. And he says, it's about 6 or 7 miles, it's about 4,000 feet of climbing, and but you should be fine, but just follow this instruction. So I did. I said, okay, you know, I'm the foreigner, I'll follow your instructions. And so I went, and about 30 minutes of walking down this path, I looked back and I thought, I think I'm going the wrong direction. Because as I'm hiking and I'm looking, and the mountain peak that I'm trying to get up to is behind me. And the further I hiked, the further I was getting from the mountain that I was trying to go up. And, sorry, Debbie, can you get Joshua? Sorry. And the further I went, the more I realized I was getting further and further away from the mountain peak that I was going to, and I thought, this is not right. Something's wrong. And finally, I got to a river. I got to a stream, which is the next picture. And I remembered the stream, and I remember swimming in the stream, but it was on a completely different trail, and I was completely in the wrong direction of where I was. And I began to think that this forestry ranger was not being totally honest with me. And I thought, you know, maybe he's a good guy, but he gave me bad information. He was leading me on the wrong direction, the wrong path. And after a while, I was sitting there, and I looked on the other side of the river, and there was no path going further. So I'd come down to this river, and there was no way to go. And I remembered, you know, years ago, at the bottom of the mountain was a cross that a church had put up on the bottom of the mountain. And I knew that if I could get to the cross, I could get up the mountain. And so I started turning around and started making my way. And the next picture shows, this is more closer to the summit, but looking back, there's a little cross down there. It's actually quite a big cross. But I knew if I made it to that cross, I'd be okay. And so I turned around and I started making my way in the opposite direction, back along the trail I'd gone along. And every now and then, as I came over a rise, I would see the cross. So I knew I was going in the right direction. I got to the cross, and I realized I was okay. And then from then, I walked straight up the mountain and was able to get to the summit. And it was as if the Lord was reminding me. He was preparing, as I was preparing this message, He was reminding me that sometimes we get bad information. Sometimes we get put on a pathway that's not going in the right direction. But if we turn and follow the cross, the pathway that God has for us, the path that God has for us. Andy Stanley makes a statement, you know, direction, not intention, determines our destination. Direction, not intention, determines our destination. You know, I had every intention of going up the mountain, but I was going in the wrong direction. It's really important who we listen to. So today, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? I've been going through, as you know, through 1 John and the letters that John wrote to the church in Asia Minor. And in the first few chapters of 1 John, the focus has been on God is light. Amen. The focus has been on God is light. And that was the what we looked at in the early weeks back in June. But then the focus has shifted from chapter 3, chapter 4 onwards to God is love. But as we look at chapter 4, which we're going to come to today, these first six verses of chapter 4, it seems like John goes off on a completely different tangent. And he doesn't mention light or love at all. And he focuses on false teachers, false prophets, and a warning against false prophets. So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read the first six verses. So 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. Amen. John begins by warning this beloved church, these people that he loves so much. He warns them about or against the false prophets, the false teachers, the false spirits who are deceiving the church. Now, we must remember, this is the first century, and he is writing to the church, and the church didn't have the New Testament as we have it. They didn't have the compiled canon as we have it in the New Testament. And people in the church were exercising their spiritual gifts. There were teachers, preachers, prophets, evangelists. There were people exercising their gifts of teaching. But not everyone was being filled with the Spirit of God and teaching the truth. Now we have the advantage of the Word of God to be able to test some things and to test whether that word is truth. But they were easily being deceived because the teachers were being led astray. So who should they trust? Who could they trust? You know, Satan is a master liar and manipulator. John says in verse 1, many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, we need to realize that Satan was sending out false prophets. He was sending out lying spirits at the beginning, and he is still doing that today. It's still happening today. People going out, or evil spirits going out to deceive people, to influence or to indwell teachers, to speak a false gospel, to proclaim a false narrative. We need to be alert. We need to be praying. We need to be discerning as to what we are listening to, who we are listening to. You know, in the world of mass media, and you can type in Google on any subject you like and find thousands and thousands of hours of teaching. How much of that is truth? We need to be discerning. Never before in history have we been exposed to so much that's potentially false. Let's quickly clarify, what is a prophet? What is a prophet? You know, a prophet is a person who declares the truth of God's word. A prophet is someone who declares God's truth. It's seldom in the context of foretelling the future. Occasionally that's happened, but seldom is a prophet someone who declares what's going to happen in the future. But a prophet is someone who declares God's truth. The word, the English word prophet, comes from a Greek word which means the one who speaks forth. And it's usually a word of encouragement or a word of correction, a word of rebuke, of call to repentance. That is important for us to identify and know. What is a prophet? The Bible warns us that not everyone who claims to be speaking for God is actually a prophet of God. Not everyone. False prophets are something that Jesus warned us about frequently. In Matthew 7:15, he says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Matthew 24, speaking about the signs of the end times, Jesus says, "And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray." This is the era that we're living in that Jesus was speaking about. Many are going to be led astray. And I think with the advent of the internet and the ability for anyone who has any ideas to sit in their basement and speak to the world and just sprout forth whatever they feel is on their heart, and millions of people have access to that. We need to be aware, discerning, and praying constantly. As a word of caution, be wary of anyone that says one is predicting, you know, a future political outcome. We know how that's worked out in recent history. But also, beware of anyone that says God is just going to bless the nation. Everything's going to be wonderful. There's incredible wealth coming, and there's amazing outpouring coming, and God is just going to be so good to everybody. Be wary of that, because I believe God is calling us as a nation to repentance. Be wary of just blanket blessing of everything's going to be wonderful. We love to hear that, but the truth is, a prophet should be calling us to repentance of the sins of the nation. We encourage you to read the Old Testament prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah. They were in the minority, but they were saying judgment is coming. And there were many prophets in that time that were saying, "Oh, it's all good. God's going to bless. I know it looks bad, but it's going to be amazing tomorrow. Good things are coming." And everyone wants to listen to those prophets. But the one prophet that's speaking the word of God was saying, "Repent. Judgment is coming. Be aware." You know, in this passage, six times John uses the word "from God," and six times he uses the term "the world." And we mustn't be so naive as to think that those who are from the world are not in the church. Satan has always done his most destructive work through false prophets in the church. We need to be aware that just because someone is speaking in the church and proclaiming a gospel or that they love Jesus, they're not always speaking the truth. Satan, again, is a master manipulator. To avoid being led astray, John gives us, in this passage, he gives us four ways that we can test if it truly is a prophetic word, if it truly is from God, or if it's a lie. In verse 1, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." So the first one is to check ourselves to see whether or not we're being deceived. Am I being deceived by this word that I'm hearing? We need to be vigilant. We need to be alert. The problem is, many people are theologically lazy. They're theologically lazy. They do not know the Bible. They do not know what they believe. And when someone comes speaking and throws in a few scriptures and throws in a few good-sounding Bible words, we run after that because we don't know what God's Word says for ourselves. Our churches today are biblically very weak. I go so far as to say many churches are biblically illiterate. And if we don't know the Word of God, how can we discern truth from a lie? How can we know if someone is speaking God's truth or not? Do you believe that Satan and his demons know the Bible? They know the Bible better than most of us, probably better than all of us. And they've been manipulating and twisting the Word of God from the beginning. We need to know whether it's truth or not. Right at the beginning, Satan tempted Eve in the garden. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, Satan said to Eve, "Did God really say you shouldn't eat from any tree in the garden?" Did God really say? That's the lie that Satan began with, and that's the lie that he is constantly today throwing out to us. Behind every prophet, there is an empowering spirit, the Spirit of God or one of Satan's demons. There's a tendency to accept everything that's got a phenomenal or a supernatural outworking to it. You know, if something is flashy, it's like, wow, that was supernatural. And we're drawn to that and we say, well, it must be from God because I've never seen anything like or heard anything like that before. We need to be discerning prayerfully and close the door to false teaching. You know, we don't have to look further than the recent history of the church here in America and around the world, where we have heard story after story, account after account, of large mega church leaders, sometimes not even large church leaders, that have manipulated people, that have had power over them. There's been abuse stories, there's been sexual immorality, and there's been these incredible ministries, these high-profile people have fallen. And all the time we hear stories of, yeah, we know that they're broken, but look at the fruit. We know that they're not right in this area, but just ignore that. Just look how many people are coming. Look how many lives are being changed. And when those leaders fall, thousands of people fall with them. Satan can manipulate and twist the Word of God. False prophets and deceivers are around us. The second test is, are they proclaiming the true Jesus? Are these prophets proclaiming the true Jesus? Verse 2 says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." John makes it very clear. We need to have this in mind. We need to think about this constantly. Christianity is about Jesus. It is about our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? Is he simply a great religious leader? Maybe a good prophet? Is he just one option among many, as a Buddhist would say? Is he just one of the options? There's many different ways. Or is he God in the flesh, fully God, fully man? Is he the only begotten Son of God? Is he the only way, the only truth, the only life? Do you believe that about Jesus? The best way to test the Spirit is to ask about Jesus. Who do you say that he is? The Holy Spirit of God will always honor Jesus. Anytime a prophet is speaking under the power of the Holy Spirit, he will honor Jesus all the time. Jesus said this in John 16. The alternative is in verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. John writes about these false prophets, these false spirits that won't confess that Jesus is the Christ. Many false teachers today, and sadly in many mainline denominations, refuse to acknowledge or even to state that Jesus is God. They refuse to state that. So this is the spirit of the Antichrist. So what is the Antichrist? We looked at this in June when we were going into chapter 2 of 1 John. And when we hear the word Antichrist, we kind of go into some wild imaginations and fear and a lot of speculation. But the Bible's pretty clear who and what this is. It's the spirit of Antichrist. We read in chapter 2, verse 22, "Who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son." The strategy of Satan is very simple. His demons and himself, very simple in their deception, is to oppose Jesus, to redefine him, to redefine Jesus from what the Bible says who he is. They'll say, he is good, but he's not God. He may be a son of God, like you or I are a son of God, but he's not the son of God. They'll say he may have died on the cross as a martyr. Yes, historically, Jesus died on the cross, but he didn't die to pay for our sins, to atone for our sins. He didn't die as a savior. And they'll deny his resurrection. They'll deny that Jesus rose from the dead. Well, that was the lie that began right back at the beginning after Jesus rose from the dead, and 500 people saw him. The spirit of Antichrist always diminishes the person and the work of Jesus, always tries to lower who Jesus is, rejecting that he is God. If Jesus wasn't God, then his death and resurrection means nothing for us. We'd have no power over sin. The core of Christianity, of who Jesus is, he has to be the eternal Son of God. He has to be our Savior. If we get this wrong, everything else in our faith falls apart. If we get who is Jesus wrong, everything else falls apart. This is the spirit of Antichrist. The third test is, so who are you trusting? Who are you trusting? Verse 4 says, little children, you're from God and have overcome them. For he who is in the world, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I love that promise. I can't tell you how many times I've quoted that verse over and over to encourage people, to tell them, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We need to believe that. Are you trusting in the greater spirit? Who are you trusting? Who are you trusting? You know, Satan and his demons have a large following. The world seems to be powerfully opposed to the things of God. Daily, it seems like we're coming under attack. Daily, it just seems like the world is spinning out of control, and there's so much demonic oppression, there's so much evil, and we think, well, maybe as followers, we just need to hide maybe and just kind of go into a corner and just hide away. Let me tell you, Satan and his demons have already been defeated. They're destined to fail. Jesus has won the victory. It is won. The victory is secured. Satan and his demons can make a lot of noise, but they're a defeated foe. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said this to Peter, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's a promise from God's word. Notice the tense in verse 4. You are of God and have overcome them. You know, there's a common misconception that spiritual warfare is, we especially young men like to kind of get this analogy of spiritual warfare, of standing up on a table, picking up your sword of the spirit and going out and slaying demons and running around and shouting at things and jumping up and down. Spiritual warfare is standing on the promises of God's word, declaring what God says to be true. That's spiritual warfare. Watchman Nee, in his book Sit, Walk, Stand, that we looked at last year, I believe it was, standing. That spiritual warfare is standing on the promise of God's word. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The victory's already won. So as we commit our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, his victory becomes our victory. God gives his Spirit to live in us. The Holy Spirit is the one who glorifies Jesus in and through our lives as we stand on the promises of God's word. I think as believers and as churches, sometimes we don't get this. We struggle to really get this. We hide. We don't speak up in the public square. We think, well, let's just pray that Jesus comes again so I don't have to face any more of this struggle and this tension in life. Jesus is not coming again. We have a responsibility. He is coming, but until he comes, we have a responsibility to stand in the public square, to declare the gospel message to the glory of Jesus Christ. That is our role. The final test is, are you listening to the right teachers? Are you listening to the right teachers? Verse 5 and 6, it's kind of the ultimate us and them statement. Verse 5 and 6, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John makes a direct statement about false teachers. They're not from God. They're not just a little misguided. They're not from God, but from the world, the domain of Satan and his demons. There's competing worldviews. Now, a worldview is the way we see the world around us. The lens that we see the world around us is how we make our decisions, how we determine our responses to what we see in the world around us. If you have a biblical worldview, if you have a biblical worldview based on the promises of God's word, then how we view everything is through God's word. It changes everything. We have an eternal perspective about what we see around us. The biblical worldview gives us a perspective on life, on death, on marriage, on sexuality, on abortion, on everything, politics, everything that we see around us is governed by a biblical worldview. What does God's word say about that? How do I respond? Even the pain, the challenges of life, the day-to-day struggles, if you have a biblical worldview, it governs the way you see things and respond to things. As Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I shared this with the early service. Do you realize that nothing you have seen is eternal? Everything around us is temporal. It's transient. But a biblical worldview gives us a vision of the eternal, to believe for the eternal. The world, a worldview of the world, the mass media, the false teachers, the message that they're pushing today is that, did God really say? Did God really say? The 16th century reformer Martin Luther, he said it well, it does no good to say, I will gladly confess Christ and his word in all articles except one or two, which my tyrannical masters will not tolerate. In other words, myself will not tolerate. But he who denies Christ in one article or word has in this one article denied the same Christ who would be denied in all articles. In other words, you get it wrong on one worldview, one aspect, you can throw the whole thing out. For there is but one Christ in all words, collectively and individually. You know, secular worldview says that this is all there is. Grab all you can in the short time that you're here. Make a name for yourself. Climb over other people as much as you can in order to get ahead. Leave a legacy. It's hopelessness. It's hopelessness. So who are you listening to? Every one of us are on the trail. Every one of us are on the trail. Which direction are you going? Which direction? Who are you listening to guide you, to lead you on the pathway of life? You know, there are many experts out there. You know, say that an expert is someone from out of town who carries a briefcase. There's so many experts out there telling you which way to go. But who are you listening to? There's a spirit of truth and there's a spirit of error, and the battle is real. The battle is raging in the world today. Do we know the truth? Are we listening to the truth? Are you testing the Spirit? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you daily? Are you allowing God's Spirit to lead you and to guide you into truth? Because that's His role, that's His job. Daily reading God's Word, allowing the Spirit of God to reveal truth, allowing God to align your perspective with the cross, the gospel message. Every decision you make needs to be led by a biblical worldview. So as we go into a time of ministry, what lie have you been believing? What lie have you been believing today in your life that's not of God? Maybe you don't know what lie you believe, but you're wrestling with a decision that you need to make. You're wrestling because there's a decision that you're facing and you don't know what you should do. And there's competing voices telling you to do this, do that. The wise thing to do is this. Sometimes it's a secular worldview giving you advice. Maybe you've been living in a secular worldview. Maybe you've been led by the voices around you. And that's all you've ever known because you've never really encountered Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I would encourage you today to come and speak to me. I could introduce you and we could pray together to give your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to begin to get on the pathway that leads to victory. Maybe you simply need prayer for wisdom. And as our ministry team would come up, I pray that they would pray for you because you've been listening to so many different voices, inundated by YouTube videos and TikToks. What is God saying? Allowing Him to silence all of those voices so that you can hear clearly the voice of God speaking to you. Let's pray. And Sharon's going to come up and lead us in one final song. But I want to encourage you to respond today. If God's been speaking to you. And again, you're not coming forward if you're in a desperate situation. Yes, come forward. But if you're just confused on a certain area and you need prayer for that, please respond today and come and speak to me as well. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, that you're good. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that we so easily get deceived. There's so many competing loud voices, many of them the spirit of the Antichrist, who make less of Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for taking our eyes off the cross. Lord, I pray for anyone here today who's been misdirected, who's been sent off down the wrong path. Lord, I pray that you would bring them back. Bring them back to your purposes, I pray, God. Lord, lead us as we pray. You said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. Lead us, we pray, Lord Jesus. Help us to be led by you, to walk in the pathway of the victory that you have already won. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.